Yeah, I did. Don't worry about it. Come on. Bless you. About to drop it again. Calamity.
It was close.
Calamity. Oh, amen. Y'all, I'm caught up in the Spirit this morning. Hey, man, what a worship experience. Oh. Be still and know that I'm God. We were singing that song and God just spoke to me. Turn your Bibles a minute to Isaiah chapter 9. I've got to read this. Isaiah chapter 9. You most of you know it. Some of you may not, but Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. One day, there's going to be peace. There is peace in our hearts this morning because Jesus Christ lives there. Those of us that have trusted Him as our Lord and our Savior. I told the group on Wednesday night, He's not just the Good Shepherd. He's the Great Shepherd. And He's the Chief Shepherd. Of His peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice and righteousness from henceforth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord will perform this. That's a promise to you this morning. You listen to the news and you hear all that's taking place in our world. I want you to know that one day the lion's going to lay down with the lamb, going to eat straw. It'll no longer eat meat. The little child's going to pick up the serpent and play with it, and it'll not harm him. The curse will forever be removed, church. And that's what we were singing about this morning. You see, God inhabits the praise of His people. The more you praise Him, the more nearer you come into His presence. And the more peace that He brings into your heart. And the more purpose that He gives to your life. And the more He reveals His plan. Now that's a three-point sermon. Did you get it? Did you catch all the peas in there? The more greater that plan is revealed to you. And what God wants to do in you, and what God wants to do through you. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And then turn to 1 Corinthians, put a finger there at Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And then put a finger at 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. When you find those passages of Scripture, would you stand with me, please? Could you sense His presence in here this morning? Could you sense when you walked into this place, you just felt God's presence, God's peace? This will end my series on prayer. If you have not had the opportunity to listen to all of them, they're on the website or will be on the website. You can go to www.dutchforkbaptist.org and you can pull up these sermons, and I would encourage you to do that. In Luke chapter 11 and in Luke chapter 17, there were two requests that were made by the disciples of Jesus. In Luke chapter 11, they said to Jesus, now listen carefully to this, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray, talking about John the Baptist. Prayer is learned. Prayer is not something that just accidentally happens. Prayer is learned. Now listen to what I'm going to say to you. You can learn how to pray the wrong way. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody when I say that. Remember, I've asked you to begin where you are and decide that you want God to help you to grow in your prayer life. I listened to Hal Lindsey along with Roma Friday night. Hal Lindsey said something that I have believed for a long time. I believe that before the rapture of the church comes, we're going to face persecution in America. I believe that God, along with a number of other pastors besides myself that I've heard in recent days who have been talking or preaching or are teaching on this subject of prayer, I believe that it's extremely important. Prayers that may have been sufficient for one level will not be sufficient for that level when the enemy comes in and is released like a flood. I do not mean to say that to scare you this morning. I'm not trying to do that. I'm simply trying to prepare you. That's why I announced last Sunday, when September the 7th, when we go back in our worship center, I'll bring a series of messages on kingdom living. How to live in this present evil generation. I don't have to remind you that it's an evil generation. Therefore, in everything that we say and in everything that we do, church, Jesus is the model. Did you hear me? This way means yes. I heard you. Please understand, He is the model. How He prayed and how He ministered. I believe that the way the early church began in a pagan society and in a pagan world, and the early church was born, I believe that the church will go out the same way, meaning raptured. And I believe what the early church faced in the book of Acts, we're going to face. I do not believe that we will face the horrors of Revelation. I do not believe that. I'm pre-trib. I'm premillennial. I do believe that the bride of Christ is not going through tribulation. I teach that. I preach it because I believe it. I believe it based upon my study and upon what I believe is the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God as He has revealed it to me. But I want you to know we're not going to be going along like this and then all of a sudden drop off like that. I want you to know that one or two things is going to happen. America is either going to turn back to God. I pray that she will. That's my heart's desire, my heart's passion. Or America is quickly facing judgment. I do not mean to alarm you. I am called to be a watchman on the wall. I am called to warn you. I am called to teach you. I am called to prepare you. I do not want any of your blood dripping from my hands. And Ezekiel says that if I fail to warn you, God will require your blood at my hands. Why? Because some 40 years ago, He raised me up to be who I am today, a minister of the gospel. So I want us to start this morning with that basic verse. of the ministry that Jesus was called to, and it's Luke chapter 4 and verse 18 and 19. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, I know you're standing, but let me talk. I'll tell you what, go ahead and sit down. God knows our hearts. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, listen to me. Look up here and listen to what I'm going to try to tell you quickly. Doug said, asked me if I had a short sermon. I'm going to try to do my best. I'm going to lay this up here to make you all feel better, but it means nothing to me. I love you with all my heart. You know that. If the Spirit of the Lord was necessary in the ministry of Jesus, how much more is it necessary in mine and your life? If Jesus depended upon the Holy Spirit, and if God sent the Holy Spirit upon Him, visibly so that everybody that was present at His baptism could see the Holy Spirit descend upon Him like a dove. And the words from the Father were, this is, say it with me, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now in John chapter 1, I'm going to do my best to teach this message this morning, okay? In John 1 and verse 12, he says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. Now I've already shown you, but for the benefit of those that haven't been in the series, let me take just a minute and bring you up to date. In John chapter 17, verse 23-26, and God loves you and I equally to His Son. He has made us joint heirs. That means equal heirs with the Son in the kingdom. That means the same power, Holy Spirit, that indwelt Jesus, indwells you and I. That means the same authority, the Father's authority. Jesus said, I don't say anything except what the Father tells me to say. I don't do anything except what the Father tells me to do. Remember the other Sunday I told you all I wanted to get to that point in my life and in my walk with the Lord where my mind is so totally under His absolute authority and absolute control. I think nothing but what He wants me to think. I say nothing but what He wants me to say. And I do nothing but what He wants me to do. He was so empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen, the Holy Spirit hasn't changed. So how much power did Jesus have? All of it. All of the power of heaven was given to Him by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. He was a man. Yes, He was the God-man. Yes, He was God incarnate in human flesh. But He was a man filled under the control of, directed by, led by, empowered by, equipped by the Holy Spirit of God. That is God's desire for you and I. That you and I become the sons of God. You remember the lie that Eve swallowed and Adam swallowed in the Garden of Eden. You remember Satan says, if you'll do this, you'll become as the gods. My friends, I want to say to you this morning that when you trust Jesus Christ, when you repent of your sins and you turn to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His substitutionary sacrificial death on Calvary's cross, I want you to know this morning that you are born into God's family. You can never be unborn out of God's family. You become God's son by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God convicted you. The Holy Spirit of God called you. No man can come to the Father except the Father call them. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So if you are saved this morning, if you're blood washed, blood bought, born again, then the Holy Spirit of God called you. Therefore, the Holy Spirit indwells you and empowers you. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, that I've already preached, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, You have the same authority that Jesus had to call things that weren't as though they are. Did you hear me? That's what he did. According to the will and the purpose and the plan of the Father. And so he had, listen to me, hear this now, because I asked this question 2 weeks ago, and I saw some people shake their heads. He had 100% of his prayers answered. And you can fire me tomorrow, or you can fire me today if you don't like what I'm about to say here, but I've got to say it. The only time that he prayed, "Lord, if it's your will," was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was praying in his ultimate humility as a man, so that the will and the purpose of God might be revealed for every generation to follow. Luke chapter 4. What is God's will? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. To preach, he came to preach. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know you thought I'd forgot. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or with wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of the Lord. 4.5 years ago, you called me here. And we've been on a journey. I've been on a journey. The Daniel plan is part of that journey. No brag, just fact. I've got a suit on this morning that I couldn't wear 2 years ago. No brag, just fact. To God be the glory. I've lost 37 pounds. To God be the glory. Why? Because God convicted me that this is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And you remember in one of the messages, I declared unto you that the God of this universe last Sunday lives here. I came declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I want you to know that it's not easy to stand up here and to preach a message that I know is contrary to traditional thinking and traditional taught theology that is unbiblical. It's not the way Jesus prayed. We have the authority, we have the power by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. We have the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know I stand here this morning, as I do every Sunday morning when I come to this place. I stand in fear and trembling, for I know when the word goes forth from this place, it falls upon four different types of soil. There's the wayside where the birds come and immediately steal the seed away. Time it goes forth. Oh, preacher, I don't believe that. And then there's the rocky ground, and it's there for a little while, and it grows up and it tries to take root, and it just withers away because it doesn't have any root. And then there's the thorny ground. It begins to try to grow, and then all of a sudden the thorns of the world just choke it out. But then finally there's that other fourth, 25%. 25% that receive it. Some bring forth some bring forth 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, don't throw bricks at me. Don't throw handles. You don't have handles. But listen to me. If you're not careful, you're going to fall in one of those other three categories instead of the last category that I mentioned. The cares and the pleasures of this world is going to rob you of the truth of the Word of God, the infallible Word of God that is truth. I can't teach without any mixture of error. It will not return void. It will accomplish that which He sends it forth to do. It will bring forth that which is pleasing unto Him. How? When you and I stand on it. One of those songs we sang this morning was standing on God's Word. That's what we did for Colton.
God, we need to do it every time, not just for Colton, but God used Colton to get me back to where I was, for I had drifted away. And you might be here this morning and you've drifted away. And my speech was not with, and preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom. You all know me. I'm just a country boy God called and saved and called to preach and put in my heart to love people. I'm not an eloquent man. But I want you to know I'm a man that believes in the absolute authority of God's Word, that it is truth without any mixture of error, that it will accomplish that which He sends it forth to do, that it will bring forth that which is pleasing unto Him. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of power. Where is the power for you and I this morning? It is in the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God that lives within every one of us. Stop being afraid of what people are going to think about your prayers and just begin to start praying the Word of God about every situation. I've got 7 points to cover quickly. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. Our Sunday school lesson was about that this morning. I've got to tell you this little story. Let me throw it in quick. Leon and I got an email from someone who emailed the church through our website and wanted to know what we believed about creation. This individual is attending a large church in our community. I'm not going to tell you where, but a large church in our community. She went to all three of the pastors at that church and she asked the question, what is the position of this church on creation? And all of the ministerial staff in that church says, we'll have to get back to you. God is my witness. I want your faith to stand in the Word of God. I want you to be built up and edified in your faith. I want you to grow in your faith. And the only way that's going to happen is to get in the Word of God and begin to pray the Word of God. The Word of God may empower you and deliver you and set you free from every evil thought and every imagination. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty to the tearing down and to the destroying of every stronghold, drugs, immorality, whatever. Let's go to the first slide so I can start preaching. Praying in the Spirit is praying with fervency. Go to James quickly. Go to James and look at it for just a minute. If you don't know where James is at, just keep turning until you get after 2 Peter before 1 John and you'll find James. Hebrews James. James chapter 5 verses 16 and 17. Let me read it to you. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want you to know I am a man of like passions as Elijah. That's what the scripture said. And so are you, men. And men, I challenge you this morning to become men of perseverance in your prayer life. Let your wife, let your children hear you begin to pray with perseverance. God. Next slide. We're going to move quickly. Praying in the Spirit is praying with boldness. Acts chapter 1 verses 13 through 15. I'll not turn there and read it. Chapter 2 verse 4. Chapter 4 verse 13. It's praying with boldness. You know what marked that early church? Their prayer life. You know why? Because 120 of them had spent 10 days in an upper room praying. And they did not leave that prayer room for 120 people to be gathered together in a place for 10 days and pray. God had not whispered down from heaven and said, y'all keep praying now and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He had and said, I'm going to launch the New Testament church per se. And the day of Pentecost came, and how many people were saved? How many? How many? How many?
3,000 people were saved. And a week later, the fallout from that prayer room where 120 got bold with God and began to stand on the authority of inerrant word of God that is truth without any mixture of error. And the fallout continued the next week and 5,000 were saved. Men, plus women and children. The church grew exponentially in 1 week's time. How? By the power of prayer. By the power of prayer. You want your life to be transformed? You want your life to be changed? Start taking God at His Word and boldly pray it back to Him. God wants to answer those kind of prayers, church.
Next slide. Praying in the Spirit is praying with perseverance. Genesis chapter 32, verse 26. If you don't know who this is, God help you, but I hope you'll know when we leave today. It's Jacob. You remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel all night long? You remember what he said to that angel? He grabbed hold of the horns of the altar of God and he said, I'll not let you go till you do what? Bless me. I'll not let you go till you bless me. You remember Jesus talked about the widow and the adversary that she had, and the judge said, lest this woman continually weary me by her continual coming, I'm going to arise and avenge her of her adversary. He said, how much more your heavenly Father will rise up to your prayers. Woo! That'll make a Methodist start praying, y'all. It'll make a Presbyterian start praying. Yes. Listen to me. Praying with perseverance, praying with fervency, praying with boldness, and praying with perseverance. God, I'll not let you go until you bless me. God, I'll not let you go until you deliver my son or my daughter, until you deliver my grandson or my granddaughter. God, I'll not let you go. God gives you a word on it, church. Stand on it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Not even a preacher of the gospel talk you out of it. I was at the hospital with this family one morning. And we were praying together. Colton was in intensive care at Lexington Medical Center. And we were praying together. And we had finished praying, and I looked up, and one of my pastor friends was coming down the hallway. And I just knew that man believed as I did. I had known him for years and years and years. I just knew that he believed as I did. And I asked him to come over and pray with Lisa. He did. I want you all to know I'm nobody, but with God, I'm somebody. And so are you. I want you to know that you are a child of God. You are a son of God. And you have the authority to pray bold prayers. You have the authority to pray fervently. You have the authority to pray with perseverance. And he prayed with Lisa. The moment he finished praying and he left, I told Lisa, I said, you put it out of your mind right now. You know why? Because he didn't pray according to the Word of God. He left an out. He left an out. You see, he didn't want to be embarrassed in his prayer life. He left an out. And so he said to this mother whose son is dying, 3 doctors have said he's dying, that son sitting right there. He said to her, well, you know, God heals in more than one way. Sometimes He heals by taking us home. Now, listen to me. Get angry with me. Get upset with me. I'm going to still love you, okay? You can't stop me from loving you. And the reason I'm preaching this way is because I love you. I want to get the truth down in your spirit, your grow. Crawl, crawl, crawl. So you'll start chewing on it some. We were standing on the Word of God, weren't we, Mama and Daddy? Paul said, when you've done everything, stand. Stand.
When you've done everything else, withstand. And then finally he says, stand. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. They're everywhere every day. His demons are working, church. They didn't disappear at the end of the first century as some preachers preach because Jesus isn't present. God help us if Jesus is not present now. Amen? God help us if He's not present by the power of the Holy Spirit of God living in every one of us that's saved this morning, that are blood washed and blood bought and born again. God help us! Praying. Praying with fervency. Praying with boldness. Praying with perseverance. Quickly, the text that I read for me out of 1 Corinthians. Praying in the Spirit is praying with the demonstration of God's power. People today are hungry. They want something real to latch their life onto. They want to see something real today. They've seen the fakery. They've seen the fuzz. They've seen peach fuzz. Peach fuzz is prayers that are prayed that doesn't have the power to blow the fuzz off of a peach. That's my illustration. Start praying like you mean it. Start praying like you believe there's a God in heaven that wants to answer your prayer more than you want to pray it. Start standing on the inerrant, infallible Word of God that's truth without any mixture of error. Praying. Praying in the Spirit is praying with all glory and majesty and dominion and power belonging to God. Next slide. You remember I told you that the purpose for prayer is to do what? It starts with a G. Glorify God. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do that the Father may be in who? Johnny Muller? Who? In the Son. Get your eyes off of this flesh and blood man standing in this place today that is shouting his head off. Get your eyes off of me. Focus on the eternal Word of God. Focus on the eternal God by the power of the Holy Spirit and begin to pray. Giving God all the power, all the glory, all the majesty, all the honor. Praying in the Spirit is praying with the truth of God's Word. Next slide. The truth of God's promises. God's made irrevocable promises to you. Now, I'm not going to make you raise your hands. But if you're saved this morning, God made an irrevocable promise to you, didn't He? If He can change that promise, guess what? Immediately, the rest of His Word is invalidated. Did you hear me? If He can change, listen to me, if He can lose you, Jesus said, you're in my hand and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. My Father who gave you to me is greater than all and no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are what? One. One. So if you can lose your salvation, then the Father would have to break His promise. That's the only way you can lose your salvation. His promise will not be broken to you. Well, guess what? When He said He would answer your prayer, that's the same promise. Start believing it. You believed it for salvation. Get beyond salvation. I know people have been saved 50 years and still babes in Christ. You still have to burp them and wipe them. Start growing in your prayer life. Start growing. Get in the Word of God and learn how Jesus prayed. Get in the Word of God and learn how the prophets prayed. And begin to pray with that authority. Begin to come into God's presence by offering Him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And I say this jokingly, but I mean it with all my heart. If you got a problem raising your arms and raising your hands, that's okay. I'm not going to condemn you for it, but I don't want the Pentecostals and the Church of God, the Assembly of God, the Nazarenes, and anybody else to have all the fun. Thank you. As long as I can raise them, I'm going to raise them. As long as I can raise them, I'm going to raise them. I'm going to raise them. I'm going to raise them. I know that's not traditional Baptist doctrine and theology. Don't start packing your bags yet. I just didn't want to lose it. Next slide, please. Praying in the Spirit is praying. Is praying with the intercession of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. You know how it begins? Well, why don't you turn? Let's find out. Romans chapter 8. Excuse me. How does it start? There is therefore now no to them who are you in Christ this morning? If you're saved this morning, if you're blood washed and blood bought and born again, you're saved and you're in Christ. Stop letting the devil condemn you. Because you've maybe slipped. I got a little secret to tell you. I'm going to let the secret out this morning. Your pastor slips every day. I'm a man of like passions, like Elijah. I have to guard my heart and guard my mind every day. I have to ask the Spirit of God to take control of the temper that lives inside of me because, listen to me, I have a temper. Temper's not a sin. Losing it and letting it control you is a sin. God help an axe that doesn't have temper. It won't hold an edge. But I'm the kind of individual, and you all know this, nothing stops me. My daughter's the same way. Nothing stops her. She wanted a wakeboard for her birthday, August the 9th. So her husband got her a wakeboard. I want you to know in three times she got up on that wakeboard and started jumping all around back there like she'd been doing it all of her life. Nothing stops her. She's the same way. That's the way we wired. I tried to tell Tim that before he married her. She's wired just like a daddy. Her wheels never stop turning. I go to bed at night with my toes wiggling. I wake up with them wiggling. I can't wait to wake up. Sometimes the Lord wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I say, Lord, what'd you do this for? And I start praying. I told Roman just the other day, I'm going to get up so I won't interrupt her. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go in the family room and I'm going to spend that time with God. He's waking me up for a reason. I slept good last night, slept like a baby. I was tired. I got some exercise in yesterday. I love you, brother. I love you, brother. I love you, brother. Where's Austin? I love you, Austin. Oh, did you all notice anything about that baptism yesterday? Seven gentlemen and one beautiful one young lady. Normally, it's more ladies than men. I want you to know that excites me. That excites me. Grown men, too. Grown men. And men that are going to be grown shortly. Right, Austin? Right, Andrew? Amen. Praying. There is no condemnation. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who will do what? 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 What does it say? What? What's the word? I can't hear you. Walk! Not after the what? But after the what? Woo! Start walking after the Spirit, church, and watch Satan get nervous. Oh, watch him get nervous. You know what? When we pray prayers that don't have the power to blow a fuzz off of a peach, we are no threat to him. But when we invoke God Almighty by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God and by the authority that's in Jesus' name, guess what he has to do? He has to take a trip. Stop letting him beat up on your life. Stop letting him beat up on your family. Stop letting him beat up on you, church. Begin to walk by the Spirit and not according to the flesh. I know I'm loud, but I want you to hear it. I apologize for getting loud. I want you to hear it. I haven't always been there. I'm not where I ought to be, but I want to tell you I'm on a journey. Helen Maccabee, is she here today? Is Miss Helen here today? She's in the nursery. All right. Last Sunday morning, Helen Maccabee walked out by that door over there. You be sure and tell her I used her today in the service, okay? Helen Maccabee, now a little quiet Helen, okay? A little quiet Helen. Helen's quiet. Y'all that known Helen long and I have know that Helen's just a little quiet, meek little lady. Loves the Lord with all of her heart. How many of you remember what I stood in the pulpit over there this month, a year ago, and asked you to begin doing? I asked you to be one or two individuals for me. You remember what it was? Any of you forgot? I'll forgive you if you forgot. I'll forgive you if you stopped. I never wrote down your names. I just asked you to call me. I just asked you to email me. Or I just asked you to tell me in person if you would be an Aaron or a Hur for me. And I have no idea how many of you said that you'd be an Aaron or a Hur for me. Last Sunday morning, Helen Maccabee went out right by over there. And she said, Brother Johnny, you remember what you asked us to do a year ago? Now listen. Listen. I said, yes, ma'am, Miss Helen, I do. I said, that Sunday morning, Roma and I were coming across the dam, and Roma looked at me and she said, what are you going to do with what we heard yesterday? Because listen to me, when you're given truth, God expects you to do something with that truth. Amen? And I've given you truth this morning. Will you agree with that? Now what are you going to do with it? You see, you would have been better not to have heard it than to have heard it, and not do anything about it. Roma asked me, she said, Johnny, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to ask for Aaron's and hers. I'm going to ask them to pray four ways. I'm going to ask them, number one, to pray that God will give me His wisdom. I don't want man's wisdom. I don't even want my own wisdom. That God will give me His wisdom. Number two, I'm going to ask them to pray that God will give me the ability to be able to see into the spirit realm. Number three, I'm going to ask them to pray that God will give me a greater spirit of discernment. Number four, I'm going to ask them to pray that God will open up His Word to me as never before in all the years of my ministry, that I will begin to preach the Word of God that is truth without any mixture of error, not the tradition of man or the tradition of denomination. I want you to know in February, God put me to the test. One of our members said to me one Monday night in the small group, said, Pastor, you really stepped out on a limb that Sunday morning, didn't you? I said, yes, sir, I did. I had nowhere else to go. I had to go there. Aaron's and hers. The battle was all day long, which is a picture of our life. All lifelong. And every time the arms of Moses would come down, the enemy would prevail. But when Aaron and Hur held up the arms of Moses, the Israelites were victorious. Helen Maccabee reminded me last Sunday morning. Now listen, so that you'll know it's not about me. She said, Johnny,
She got real personal. It's okay to call me Johnny. She got real personal. She said, Johnny, she said, that's why what is happening in Dutch Fork Baptist Church is happening in Dutch Fork Baptist Church. And I said to her, Helen, you're exactly right. When God's people begin to pray, when God's people begin to stand on the inerrant, infallible Word of God that is truth without any mixture of error, you begin to see miracles. That's not supposed to be an isolated case. Did you hear me? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has your and my best interests at all times. He does not sleep nor slumber. Therefore, His ears are always attentive to the prayers of His people. Church, start where you are, but ask Him to help you grow in your prayer life and begin to pray like everything counted on your prayer. Believe it with all your heart and stand. Don't let preachers or anyone else tell you any different. Stand! 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 You know how I know I'm saved today? Because the Word tells me I'm saved. Some mornings I wake up, I don't feel too saved. If I went by my feelings, there's a lot of days I wake up, I don't feel very saved that day. But the Word tells me these things are written that you might believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, 1 John 5:13, and that by believing you may have life. Life, 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 life in His name. The thief came but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to rob you just like the birds on that wayside and the rocks and the thorns wants to rob you. Walk out of here this morning and decide to be in that group, that 25% group, that 1/4. Walk out of here this morning and decide my prayer life is going to be different. I'm going to begin to pray with authority. I'm going to begin to pray with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to begin to pray God's Word, and I'm going to begin to believe it and start praying for the situations that you're facing in your homes and in your families, and start praying with perseverance. Start praying with fervency. Start praying with boldness, and start praying with truth, and start spray it all over the place. Start praying. My tongue is getting tied around my eye too. Start praying in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Bow your heads with me, please.